Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
Be self-controlled and be what? Alert. Never underestimate your sinful nature.
This week, Pastor Neil teaches how the Christian life is like constant warfare against the devil. He reminds us that our struggle isn't with other people, but with spiritual forces working against us. To stand firm, we need to know ourselves, understand our enemy, know the battlefield, and make good use of the weapons we have at our disposal. Pastor Neil emphasizes the importance of having self-control and staying connected to the Holy Spirit. He cautions that whatever areas of our lives we don't control can become opportunities for the devil to step in and cause harm. He said the key is to stay alert, not leave any openings, and avoid not just sin itself, but anything that could lead you towards it. He also urges us not to confuse confidence in Christ with pride in our abilities. But if we lean on God's strength and wisdom, we can stand firm against the devil and defeat his tactics. Let's listen to Pastor Neil in this week's lesson, Resisting the Devil.
So let's begin with knowing ourselves. Go back to the book of 1 Peter. Notice how he begins. He says, be self-controlled and alert. Be alert and sober-minded. In other words, be self-controlled. Everybody say self-control. If we don't lose control of ourselves, that is, let me say, 70% of the battle is won. So I want you to write this down. It's a question I want you to ask yourself. And please don't write it down and then close your eyes to it. In which aspects of my life am I lacking control? In which aspects of my life? In which aspects of my life am I not guided by the Holy Spirit? Because as long as there is no control in an area, I bet you Satan will use it. For example, substance abuse. I've often heard Christians who are always making arguments. Arguments. The Bible didn't say we can't drink alcohol. I will tell you the Bible said don't do it. Why? Because in all of our Christian walk, we are being brought to a place where we conform to the image of Christ. And the image of Christ is drinking alcohol. You see, most of us have made Christianity about our needs. But that's not what it's about. It is about me and you conforming to the image of Christ. Mm-hmm. If you know the bigger picture, there are things you will not be a part of because you know that will not get you there. Are you with me? Instead of you running around and say, but it is not in black and white. You are like Solomon. When God told him, don't marry anybody outside the covenant of Israel, he took the list God gave, and then he marked them and looked at the ones who were not in the list that God gave and married women from there. What happened? The very thing God said, they will turn your heart. You are never smarter than God. You will not be. Amen. So be self-aware. Huh? Controlled. Let's look at an area also like lust. There were days when you used to control the internet. Now the internet controls you. Until those things have been dealt with, you become self-controlled. Satan will use it. Are you with me today? Anger is another way. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and let's look at anger. Some of us, pride. You must know who you are. I said you must what? Now, the things you cannot control is you. They spell out your weaknesses. So I wanted to answer that question. What are the things? Are you controlling anger in your life? Is life making you angry? Just calm down. Chill. Are you in the book of Ephesians? Chapter 4, look at verse 26. Let's read 26 first. It says, in your anger, do not what? Why? Because once you don't control anger, be self-controlled. Once you don't control it, you give Satan a chance. Notice the next few words. It says, do not let the sun go down while you are angry. Verse 27, everybody, read with me, go. And do not give the devil a foothold. A better illustration for this verse is that you all would agree with me that a helicopter can actually land anywhere, right? Once there's some place for those two things to sit on it, a helicopter can be everywhere. But not a jet cannot be. There has to be a runway, right? And the scripture from this verse is trying to say to you that Satan is not a jet that needs a runway to land. All he needs is a foot. I think when you read the King James, it says, neither give place to the devil. And he uses the word topos. In other words, an area, right? Foothold. That's what Satan needs. Satan doesn't need much. He needs something little. You open the door very what? So that brings me to the second one. He says, be self-controlled, but also be alert. Everybody say, be alert. So sometimes we are not alert. We have allowed certain things in our lives, like the door, to be left little crack opening. And Satan is going to use it. Some of us, we have closed the door, but the door is not latched. You are sitting there telling yourself, oh, I can withstand if another woman comes here. Some of us are like this, little door. Some of us, the door has been, but it is not what? Latched. So a little push opens it. Satan was here before you were born, so he knows it. Do you know yourself? I'm going to meddle a little bit and get into your private life. I want to talk to our men. Men, are you here?
Yes,
women, are you here?
Yes.
Do not set these men up with the door cracked open. I'm speaking in parables. Do not. Why? Because once the door, right, it looks closed. So, oh, no, my husband won't go anywhere before you realize he's going somewhere. Because you left the door cracked just a little bit. When you steady a serpent, which is symbolic of the devil when we read the scriptures, anytime you open the door ajar, a snake will never come through it. It will always look for little holes. Little holes. Be alert. And brothers, don't leave the door ajar for your wives. Can we balance the equation here? So I want to ask you a question. Which areas of your life are the places where the door has been shut, but they are not latched? One of the doors in my house, my wife would always say, why is that door open? Because we can close the door, but the door is not latched. But you will notice that in your walk, most Christians, they have left the door just cracked, just a little. Never get a foothold to the devil. And let me put it this way. You spend so much time. You go to the stadium to watch soccer? You watch it on TV? No, watch some. Balance the thing. Because you will get to a place where you realize you don't have what it takes to overcome it. But you were deceiving yourself that you did because you thought the door was closed. But it could be open with just a finger. And Satan knows it. So Peter is saying, be self-controlled. And be what? Alert. Never, please write this down, never underestimate your sinful nature. I read a story about a woman, very sophisticated woman. She was in first class on a flight to Dubai. This business magnate sat close to her and says, I want to sleep with you and I'll give you $10,000. The woman looked at the guy and says, no. The guy smiled, looked down, and then said, how about we do it for $50,000? Talking about dollars. The woman said, my love can't be bought. The man said, 1 million. The woman says, no. Then the man says, how about I give you 2 million? And he walked away. The seed has been
if the door was locked shut, that statement couldn't open the door. So the lady sent the air hostess, go look for the guy. He come off his seat and come, let's have a talk. And he says, how about 5 mil? And the man says, name the place and the time. How much money can buy you? I want to ask you. Most of the time, the doors to our lives that Satan can use is never shut. We fast, we pray in tongues. So we think it's closed. Never underestimate your sinful nature. In this warfare, never what? And don't go embrace it either. And say, we were born in sin. You are supposed to be the image of Christ. Amen. So do you know yourself? I've given you an idea. Do you know yourself now? Go home and sit down. And sometimes when you begin to look at yourself, you will notice that what I describe about this woman, some of you feel you are in very secured marriages. If it were presented to you, 5 million. You start looking at how many cars you can buy, how many houses you can, your life will change. All of a sudden you say, Pastor, but you know, the Bible tells us to be as wise as serpents, as harmless as doves. Is the door shut? Or is it cracked open? Little. Satan knows when it's cracked open. He knows it. And he knows when it's shut. Even when he's shut, he still takes shots. How much more when you already left it that ajar? Secondly, let's know our enemy. Let's try and understand Satan. Because sometimes there are people who make Satan feel too big. Stop giving him credit for things. Because some of the things we say he did, he didn't do. He says, own up for the things you do. Let's try and understand. And I will use the names of Satan in the Bible. In the Bible, we see the name Satan. Everybody say Satan. That's Hebrew. It means an accuser. So whenever Satan is dealing with you, he will accuse you. He will go to God and say, this one you want to bless, you don't need to. Because they already have the door cracked open. That's why it's not born again. Again, we have the name the devil, right? Peter said it. He says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, that is the word adversary. Your enemy, the adversary. And then he says, the devil. Everybody say the devil. This is a Greek, and it's called the word diabolos, out of which we get the word diabolical. It means that Satan is very cunning. He's a slanderer. He will come and tell you, you know, this person did this against you. Then rush and then take your information to the other one. And he set the two of you against each other. Who told you this issue? How did you get to know? Because Satan is in the loop and he's working. You know, most Christians don't have a little crack in the door. We often have the door shut. The problem is that it is not latched. So you wonder, I cannot believe this person could do this. Because you didn't know them. I pray that God will reveal you to you. I said, I pray that God will what? So the name Satan means an accuser. The name devil means a slanderer. And the name adversary is simply an opponent or an enemy. So Satan is not your friend. He's an opponent. He is an enemy. Are you with me? I said he is what? He's an enemy. He is not your buddy. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. So when you realize that somebody is slandering you, you must know who is behind it. It is not just that individual. Are you in 1 Peter 5? Let's look at verse 8. Let's read it again. It said, be alert and of a sober mind, or be self-controlled. Your enemy, the adversary, the devil, prowls. Please underline the word prowls. A prowler is a stalker. I said a prowler is what?
So the devil prowls. Most of the time you hear people, oh, he prowls like a lion. No, today I'll break it down for you. How many of you know who a stalker is? Somebody who wants to do something bad to you. So they start studying you from a distance. They watch every move. Sometimes they get close to your house and then with the binoculars, they look in. They study your patterns. How? So they show up today, they will never strike because they are waiting for an appropriate day. Satan is stalking you, studying your weaknesses, trying to find the areas where you have the door cracked. And when you come and we preach, your head is in the air. Why do they keep preaching the same thing? It's for your own goodness. Because one day, one of these days, Satan will. I can't believe 18 years or 19 years of this sweet marriage all of a sudden ended because there was a stalker who was looking at your weaknesses and was waiting for the actual day to strike. Satan just attacked. He started almost about 10 years ago studying you. And he's watched how careless you have been. Let's assume that you were sent to come and study me. You will see all the places that I'm not closing doors. Between me and my wife, when we are home, Diana will close every door. Me, I'm the type who will leave doors. And the kids will come and say, Daddy, you didn't close that door. I say, Holy Ghost fire is here. And I remember one time, one of the kids told me, Daddy, Holy Ghost fire will be here, but Holy Ghost fire won't arrest them. They will come and take our stuff. Like me. That's how most of you are. Holy Ghost fire will take care of the problem. Close the door. I said, close what?
The door.
So Satan stalks. But then the scripture says he stalks like a lion. Like what? He prowls around like? Come on, talk to me. He prowls around like a lion. So as a prowler, he prowls like a lion. He stalks the prey like, and if you study lions, let me share with you. Lions use what is called the stealth approach. Stealth means so they cannot be seen. So a lion can hide in a bush watching sheep come and drink water for days and he will not strike from day one. He watches their patterns. Notice who is the last one to leave. What is the timing in between? And Satan is doing that with us. He's watching your marriage. He's watching your finances. He's watching everything around you. And he's studying you, waiting for one day to strike. And all of a sudden, Pastor, we need to have fasting and prayer. Child, the thing started 5 years ago. You want us to solve it today? It ain't going to get solved like that. We have to go find out where the doors have been. Your wife is asleep because she didn't give you sex. I told you I'll go there. So in the night, you started watching pornography. You left the door open. Then you got caught. So you closed the door. But it is not latched. It's not even completely closed. Then one day we find out you went out of your marriage, sleeping with somebody else, and you said it's Satan. This one, Satan has not even struck. You left the door. So if it's not happening, sit down and have a chat. Say, Dad, the way this thing is going, you are setting me up for failure. So let's talk about it and let's solve it. Are you understanding me, brothers? In the name of Jesus, and all of you said? Yeah. Shut the door. The devil stalks his prey. He uses a stealth approach. He takes his time. He's not seen. He's observing. And then he does through what is called a group attack. He doesn't only do a stealth approach where he hides, put their ear on the ground to hear the animals who are coming in. But the second is where they go in a group. Then they move into what is called the cornering. Because one lion shows up here, the other one shows up here, so you are right in the center, and you have nowhere else to go. Have you ever seen that sometimes when it rains, it pours, like this way, say it? One problem today, like between last week and this week, this one was sick, that one was this one was that. And I just stood there and I said, that's how I know Satan is at. So I'm not going to get afraid. We're going to fight. I said, we're going to what?
Fight.
You're going to fight.
Lions are not known to run long distances. So if you can outrun them, you'll be able to escape the attack. But they are good to for explosives like sprint. Boom, a short time, then he's at that place. That is why they use the stilt mold to get closer slowly and get closer. Because by the time they pounce, they are there. So you are wondering, how did these things happen instantly? No, cha, it didn't happen instantly. He's been following you slowly. Your prayer life. How did it happen that now I've become prayerless? You started back then. And Satan was watching, giving you more reasons as to why not to pray. And slowly and gradually, you have now reached a place you don't even pray at all. Because you see 2-3 miracles is good enough. But Satan knows what he's doing. Because one day he springs and then you are in his claws. Okay, so the devil stalks, but then he devours. Everybody say he devours. All right, so with that, let me give you an idea of the battlefield and how it looks like. Go with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 7. It's a very lengthy reading, but for the sake of time, I will not read all of it. I will just read parts of it and describe the story to you. All right, Proverbs chapter 7. And please notice that anytime you read the Old Testament, the stories paint pictures of principles to us. And that's what we're going to learn. Are you in the book of Proverbs 7? He says, my son, keep my word and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands. So he says all that. And then he gets to verse 7. It says, I saw among the simple, when the Bible uses the word simple, it means the foolish. I saw among foolish people, and I noticed among the young men a youth who had no sense. And he's going to describe that to us. Verse 8. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house. Verse 9. At twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of the night set in, then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute with crafty intent. Now, Solomon is describing a story that a young guy set out to go outside. When the guy left the house, he was not looking for trouble. But remember, trouble was looking for him. We will find out why trouble got him. Because he left the house at the wrong time, headed in the wrong direction, and he was in the wrong place. Let's keep reading. Then out came a woman. Okay, she is unruly and defiant. Her feet never stayed at home. Verse 12. Now in the squares, at every corner, she lurks. She took hold of him and kissed him. Without his consent, though. And with a brazen face, she said, today I have fulfilled my vows and I have fought from my fellowship offering. Underline fellowship offering. So what is she saying is that this woman goes out, meets the boy. I don't want you to get lost in the middle of the reading, right? A boy sets out of the house and he's going somewhere. We are told that we don't know where he's going. So he's aimless. Are you with me? So he heads a particular direction, and that's the direction of this married woman. Because later on, you find that she's married. But she was only dressed like a prostitute. That's how the enemy comes. He comes like somebody who, because if he's married, then obviously he wouldn't want to sleep with you, right? But then he's up to something. So we are told that the boy meets this woman. The woman grabs him and kissed him and says, today, I just offered my fellowship offering. In fellowship offerings, whenever you offer a cow, you are supposed to eat the rest of the cow after the sacrifice. So it was her way of saying, boy, I just kissed you. There's so much food at home. Because I just finished fellowship offering now. All right? Now, the next verse. Let's go for it. Verse 15. So I came out to meet you. Really? I looked for you and I found you. And I'm sure the boy's head is like, wow, she just kissed me. And she told me there's a lot of food at home. And she's been looking for me. I must be important. Foolish. That is why the beginning of the thing says, I saw a foolish boy, right?
All right. I have covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt, verse 17. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon, verse 18. Come, let us drink deep of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. My husband is not at home. So that's how you know she's a married woman. Why is she dressed like a prostitute? And why is she after the boy? See, that's how Satan functions. I'm sure this woman has studied the boy, knows that the boy walks along that path at twilight, and said, today you are in my clothes. My husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money. The relevance of that statement is that if he has a lot of money, it means he's going to spend it by buying a lot of things. And in those days, they don't drive. They go with chariots. So he has to take his chariot to this place, buy here. Somebody will let him walk to the other place, buy it, go here, and then he has to gather. So it will take him quite a while to come back. What? That's what the woman is communicating. He took his purse filled with money and will not be home till full moon. With persuasive words, with persuasive words, with persuasive words, with sometimes the persuasive words are in the media. They are in the videos. They are in the things we are watching. The real sin is going to occur in 5 years' time, but you are watching the video now. And Satan is working on your head. And he says there's a door cracked open. The other one looks shut, but it's not latched. I can work on it. With persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. The next verse is very telling. Everybody read with me. Ready, go. Pause. Was it all at once? Was it all at once? See, but anytime we experience a negative, it is as if it just happened all at once. But he's been working it. He's been studying it. All at once, he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose. Once you leave the door cracked, you see, you don't need to leave it open. And most of us, we don't leave it open. My fear is the doors that are shut but can be pushed with a little effort. That's the one I'm worried about. Because everybody sees us and says, ah, their life is intact. And Satan says, oh, forget it. That door. And it opens. Now, I don't have time to read all of it. But later on, you'll begin to see some principles. Let's take the principles out of this text really quick and then write it down that the boy got into trouble. He wasn't looking for it because he went in the wrong direction at the wrong time and landed in the wrong place. That's point number one. And most of the time, the things that the enemy is able to use to overpower us, it is because we go to places we are not supposed to be. This is where a walk with the Spirit of God is important. Not every invitation must be honored. Pastor, what are you saying? I am just teaching truth. All these years, everything is fine till you went for somebody's reunion and reconnected. Boom! It lit. But had you not gone and stayed home, you would have been saved. Wrong place, wrong time, wrong direction. Amen. Lessons, write it down. Immorality is the sin of the ignorant. Because the guy was ignorant. Secondly, avoid the path, not just the sin. If the boy was not on that path, he would not have met the woman. Me, I don't drink alcohol, but I give it to my friends when they come. You are on the path. Avoid not just the sin, avoid the path also. This place is too quiet. So immorality is the sin of the ignorant. Secondly, if you get into sin, it is because you are ignorant. You lack information.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text RADIO to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram. all at Covenant One Family.